Welcome on into the second half of Sports Talk, folks. It is Tuesday, August the 19th, and the Cajun Cannon's birthday. Happy birthday to Bobby Hebert. And man, the Saints treated you pretty good today. Not only did you was it your birthday, but you had an NFL alumni hanging out with all the other former Saints in the VIP kind of viewing area.
Yeah, they were indoors. It was awesome. I guess in the penthouse or the old facility. You could have that because that would be like the outhouse. So a great vantage point. You know, Deuce and I was hanging up there. We had a lot of, alumni, and we get together before training camp. You know, we go to the Cajun Cannon restaurant and, you know, hang out. We always have like 12 to 15 guys. Well, these guys showed up also. There's about 25 players, older players like, you know, Buford Jordan, Steve Court, Jim Dombrowski, Brad Edelman, Chuck Kaminsky. You know, I can go on and on. Pat Swilling. I see Pat looks like he still could play. You know, when you look at it, and our modern version, who's our version? I'm going to see if you guess it. Who would be our, because the 3-4, like, you know, Coach Sidwell and Vic Fangio, and with Coach Staley, we're running a 3-4. Who is the Chase Young? And you might guess Ricky Jackson, but I look at more the guy opposite of Ricky.
More Super Swilling.
Pat Swilling. Now, Pat Swilling looks like he still could play, but I don't think he's yoked as Chase Young. Chase Young looks like Tarzan.
Unbelievable, right?
Hopefully he don't play like
physical
Jane.
Physical specimen.
Hopefully he don't play like Jane, and I don't think he will. I think Chase Young is going to have a special season. What I mean by that, double-digit sacks.
Ooh-wee.
You know, we want Brian Brzee to do what he did last year. He led the team with 7.5 sacks. But we need Carl Granison. I don't know, be hovering around 9 or 10. Chase Young, I'm not saying you got to be like Trey Hendrickson and have 17 and a half. I don't know. How about a dozen? How about you give us a dozen sacks? But looking at the practice today.
Well, let's Bobby's notebook here brought to you by Rouse's Market, celebrating 65 years, and they're just getting started. What do you know? 65 years, you and Rouse's, Bobby.
Yeah, a lot of history, a lot of Bayou history there, a lot of Gulf Coast, Gulf South history all around. Yeah, we
so
home.
Happy birthday to Rouse's, too.
Yeah, we homegrown. Ain't nothing better than homegrown because it's all one big family.
So you got like top secret practice notes today.
Top secret and great vantage point. I'll tell you, the offense kicked ass.
Man, like that. It was about time.
This was like I wrote in my notes. Yeah, offense definitely won the day. And you know who was on fire? Spencer Rattler.
Ooh-wee.
I don't know. He ran with the ones today and. For every one play Shuck made, Spencer Rattler made three. And he was burning the defense. Spencer Rattler looked like with a lot of confidence in practice, almost like building upon what he did on the last drive to tie the game.
Nice.
Because wasn't that drive impressive? When you look at Spencer Rattler and what he did. Now, I mean, it went to win the game. But when you look on that last drive, and the passes that he was able to complete. I mean, all of a sudden, we didn't find the end zone until 21 seconds. So it's do or die. Remaining the game, Rattler capped off an 82-yard drive with a 20-yard pass to Dante Pettis. That was just the Saints, you know, second touchdown in the two preseason games. But look at the plays. Did he make a play with his feet to score a two-point play?
Man, I'm going to take this in.
So, and then, you know what happened? I don't know. Chris Olave looks like the more possession receiver, slants and all. I mean, you know, like who's wide receiver one? Everybody says 1, 2, 3, you know. They don't say first string, second string no more. They go like, oh, QB one, QB two and all. I'm telling you, Chris Olave, you think, might be wide receiver one, and he has that ability. I remember I always tell you Chris Olave can make everybody's team, but he'd be like number two.
Right.
Now, I don't know if there's 32 receivers better than him, but if he was with the Rams, like he might be number three. Because with Puka and then Devontae Adams,
right.
Yeah. So it just depends where you're at. But I'm telling you, Rashid Shaheed might pass him up. Rashid Shaheed was like a shot out of a cannon. And they were setting the tone. I was like, oh.
He's been a stud all camp, Bobby.
No, and I'm thinking that's not. Now, he did have one drop. He had a Chris Olave-type drop, though.
Okay.
And, boy, you got to always catch that if hit your hands. But anyway, lack of concentration, whatever it might be. But looking at Rashid, I mean, from the get-go, I mean, he said, well, not good for the defense. But, you know, the offense, we got to throw him a bone. plus 20, and then plus down the middle, and then a plus 60-yard bomb. It's like, whoa, coming out the gate smoking. All of a sudden, Alvin Kamara, you know, we couldn't run the ball to the middle. I'm watching the Rams practice. We can't run up the middle. We're getting stuffed. Well, right at the beginning, Alvin Kamara, if they block for him, yes, he can run and run very well. Great burst. I don't know. He'd have been plus 20, maybe taking it to the house. And Alvin Kamara looks 20 instead of 30, whatever. He looked young. So that was really encouraging right then. Rattler even hit Cedric Wilson Jr. on an out route. He was very accurate today. Plus 15.
He's feeling himself now.
Yeah, you just look at and then the defense, how like Cedric Wilson Jr. also, this wasn't good. The coaches get mad at this. There's a busted coverage, and they're like, oh, well. And then a big play, Rattler hit Cedric plus 30. So, gash. I mean, like, oh, we look like Drew Brees days or something.
Oh.
You ain't going all explosive. It was that good. And then Shuck came in, and he did a couple of plays, but again, it was nowhere near Spencer Rattler. And Spencer, I think, based on what I saw today, it looks like Spencer. Now, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow at practice because it's going to be a padded practice.
And we'll be in the dome.
Yeah, if Shuck will go with the ones. But, you know, a lot of teams now are naming their number one, like Flacco with the Browns. And who's the other team?
The Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, they named the Jones.
Jones.
So, I don't know.
The only one left waiting to name a starter.
Yeah, so.
Just like we were the last ones waiting to name a head coach. That's all right.
I think Spencer Rattler separated himself today.
Okay.
I mean, I just think he was playing. He looked very confident. He was spinning the ball. He looked making quick, rational decisions. And then, you know, everybody brags about Shuck's arm. Well, throw it. He had Brandon Cooks was flying, and he underthrew on the bomb. I mean, it had been another 60-yard touchdown, but he didn't reach him. And I thought, you know,
Do you feel like Shuck's still kind of hesitant to let it rip?
I don't know if he waited too long and didn't have the anticipation to get that ball out there to Brandon Cooks, but he underthrew him. And so, therefore, like Greg Williams used to say, when it's incomplete, are you catching a long ball out of bounds? Like, long foul ball, it doesn't count. Yeah, woulda, coulda, shoulda had a touchdown, but you got to get it out there. So, but he did, Shuck did hit Olave a few times, slant routes. It looked like it would have been a, you know, we try to protect Chris Olave from concussions. Who? A couple of times he had like kill shots. You would have known right quick. He caught the ball now, but he'd have got tattooed by
the
defense.
You don't like that, right?
No, so that you hopefully, you know, he could take a hit or get up, but you never know. And Olave, whether he runs so disciplined routes, whether it's an out route, a slant, he's so precise with that. And then Shuck had another play. I don't know when it's a swing route. And it's like he's like way off. Like, I don't know if his feet weren't set the way he threw it, kind of herky jerky, whatever. And it's just like, whoa. Like, wasn't even like, well, I know it was a low pass. If he would have, the running back could have went down and caught it. No, it wasn't even like near him. So I was like, whoa, that's, you got to hit that 100%. You can't be like, oh, I hit that 9 out of 10. No, so. That wasn't good there. And then Rattler hit it. Rattler was again on fire. Then he hit Rashik, very similar to Chris Olave in the game against the Jaguars. Hit him on an out route, but then he dropped it. So all Rattler could do is throw it.
Yeah.
Can't throw and catch it. So, again, Spencer Rattler was on fire. Now, one good outstanding play was by the defense, because this counts as like a pass defender, whatever. And Cam Jordan was good at this. Brian Brzee was good at this. Batted pass. You know, you get that big paw up, you're not going to get the sack. Batted pass by Christian Boyd.
All right.
And, you know, when I bring up Christian Boyd from Northern Iowa, you know, think about this. We have two Northern Iowa players on the team, Christian Boyd and Trevor Penning. You never might guess Trevor Penning, but that's why Christian Boyd, directional school, Northern Iowa. But we remember him, how you catch the attention. Remember that impression, the first preseason game when we thought it was a safety. He sacked, you remember, Taylor Heineke for a near safety, but they didn't give it to him. But that'll be interesting. I think we're going to have somebody still, even though Colin Saunders got traded to the Jaguars.
Right.
we might have one or two linemen that could get cut from our team, or whether you put in practice and make other NFL teams. And I look at Christian Boyd where he's at, because somebody has to back up Godshall.
Right.
Who's going to be, and Colin Saunders, he never looked like that space eater to me, and not enough. But I think it's between Christian Boyd and John Ridgeway. John Ridgeway, highly colorful.
And he's dealing with an injury right now.
Yes. And if you look at what they think of Ridgeway, he's a big, stout human being, if you look at him. But the Saints, you remember last year, were willing to trade a draft pick for him last year when we got him from the Washington Commanders. So I don't know where I don't know enough about that. Who, let's say you only can keep one of them. I don't know. That's a tough decision right there. Like you said, John Ridgeway being injured between Christian Boyd and John Ridgeway. Now, again, that batted pass, so that was a good thing. Now, the only thing where the defense kind of bounced back, and we got to do this better, and we get spoiled with Drew Brees. It seems like 2 minute offense or defense, or offense never wins. But we won against the Jaguars. And that was basically a 2 minute situation.
Mm-hmm.
But like today, to start off with Rattler, it was miscommunication. He was throwing an out route, and the receiver's kind of running a corner. So I don't know, it was supposed to be like a back shoulder throw, but it was miscommunication. That was the first time, so not successful in 2 minute. But Tyler Shuck wasn't successful in 2 minute anyway. But where Shuck was successful, now here's a player we just signed. And all I know is he just came the first time. I go, who's 89? I don't even know who that is. Roderick Daniels.
Right.
Okay, number 89. We said, Bobby, who's Roderick Daniels? We just got him. Had participated with the Saints on a tryout basis earlier this summer. He's a former SMU receiver. He recorded 18 touchdowns in his college career, 12 as a receiver. Well, how did he score the other six? Well, I'm going to tell you. 4 as a runner and 2 as a punt returner.
Lots of versatility there.
Punt returner. Don't be surprised if they tell Roderick Daniels against the Broncos, against Coach Rizzi's punt coverage, okay, go punt return. Go run back a punt. See what you can gain like you did at SMU. He just got here. I wrote right there a couple of catches. We had a nice catch for plus 20 yards from Shuck.
Nice stuff on the Cajun Cannon's notebook. We're going to take a break here on Sports Talk. When we return, we'll be joined by columnist for the Times-Picayune and NOLA.com, Jeff Duncan, continuing our Saints coverage here on WWL. Be right back after this. Stay tuned. Welcome back into Sports Talk, folks. Steve Geller with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Now happy to welcome in Jeff Duncan, columnist for the Times-Picayune and NOLA.com. Jeff, how you doing today, man? Short practice that we got to see, at least.
Yeah, Steve, I'm doing good. Could have used a little more time in the indoor facility. Why do they always do that to us when we're indoors? But when we're outside, they keep us out there frying in the heat for the entire time. You ever notice that?
Yeah, you're right.
Well, Jeff, I was a little prima donna. I was with the Saints alumni. So I was hanging out with Deuce. I was hanging out with Deuce. So, I mean, I was like...
You were up in the VIP section. I saw you up there.
Yeah, they were feeding us even. That was pretty nice. I got to thank Evan.
Didn't you just have a birthday? Am I supposed to wish you a happy birthday?
Oh, yeah, today, yeah, August 19th. Me and the great Dane, Martin Anderson.
He doesn't even take days off for his birthday. Look at this guy.
You know what, Jeff? I never had a good birthday, unless when I was a little kid, because once I started playing football, it was always 2 days in August. And whether, covering the team or you were playing, and you never want to let the team know it was your birthday because
they'd pull
pranks on you. And then this is a positive, my senior year in college. My oldest daughter, who turned 43 today, when she was born, it was all about her. So nothing about me. So, but it's all good. But, yeah, a bunch of type A personalities. Me, Martin Anderson, Bill Clinton. So
nice. I thought there was a good turnout from the alumni today at the practice.
Yeah. There was about 25 of us, a lot of familiar faces. Pat Swilling looks like he still could play. Buford Jarns yoked. Buford, you put the pads on Buford, he would look like he can, and he played fullback. He was outstanding at McNeese State. But some guys look like they play, some guys, no way.
Deuce would have to play nose tackle now. Moved on to other things.
Right, but as long as, if you could plug and play, you have to know your role. But, yeah, it was great the Saints did this for us. And But now that's a great opportunity because I don't know how many guys would show up if they were stuck outside in the heat, but in a controlled environment, you know, they'll show up. And the thing is, might say, well, Bobby, kind of they're on the balcony if they play outside. But then if you're around like the VIPs who, and you know, spend money with the Saints and all that, then they didn't want it to be an autograph session. So it was just us up there, and we can watch practice and mingle. So it was a pretty good thing the Saints did.
Yeah, look, I think it's great the organization continues to foster those relationships with the former players and cultivate that. I know it's important to Sean Payton and continued on with D.A. And Kellen Moore. It's nice to see that because I think that's important for the guys that you played with to still feel a part of the team
right.
and the connection.
Yeah, it's just, you know, something it was – you look, and we always obviously comment on how practice is going, and are they really hitting or are they not? I said no. I said some of them. I said no, they don't. You don't tackle no more, and then nobody does that. You know what I'm saying?
How many times did you all say, yeah? This was back in my day. It wasn't.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's how like you know, back in my day, you know, I walked in the snow to get to the school bus stop, and you know that whole thing, and. Yeah, but hey, people want to see the main players, the players they want to see the Alvin Kamaras of the world. They want, like for instance, McCoy. Somebody says, Bobby, why doesn't he play any preseason games? I said, I don't know. They want him healthy come week one against the Cardinals. You don't remember what happened last year? So
well, here's the other thing too, Bobby and Steve is, you know, this team's, let's face it, I mean, it does not have a lot of great depth. And I think the coaches know that, and they're trying to preserve the health of the really indispensable players like Kamara and McCoy as much as they can. Just they know what they've got in those guys. They don't need to see them.
Well, and Jeff, and you know what else? It was like game day, and they were giving Sean McVay, the business, the Rams coach, DeMario Davis. And Chase Young, they were bringing it. You'd have thought it was a game out there. And a couple of times, you know, the prize running back for the Rams, maybe they really tackled them. And McVay was freaking out. I know Nathan Shepard one time, like, slammed him to the ground. I can't think of his name. From Notre Dame.
Kyron Williams.
I think he was even shocked how they hit him.
And, well, that's a good sign because I haven't seen enough of that from the Saints in this camp. So it's nice to see them be aggressive and physical because I think that's something in the back of my mind I'm still waiting to see. I feel like Sean Payton where he says, I don't need to see it all the time, but I need to see it at some point. Like I feel the same way about the Saints' kind of physicality.
You know, Jeff, are you concerned? Obviously, you look like, okay, who's healthy and not healthy. You got to have luck no matter what team as far as the injuries. And, okay, Trevor Penning, okay, turf toe. I mean, what does that mean? I mean, is he out the first couple of games? I don't think he's available week one. Or when is he actually available? But I think more importantly, that damn groin better be healed by Alante Taylor.
Yep.
And what they count on him to do and how important he is to the defense. That, to me, you know how they don't have to give an injury report? That's kind of a mystery. Okay, how healthy is Alante Taylor? Is he going to be ready to roll week one against the Cardinals?
Yeah, he was in the locker room today after practice, and he got out of there pretty quick, which means, you know, he didn't want to talk about it. But I could not agree more. I'd say, if we're being honest, he's one of probably the two most indispensable players on the defense this year, strictly because they drop off pretty precipitously after him as far as playmaking ability at that star position. That's Brandon Staley's playmaking position in the defense. Derwin James played there. Jalen Ramsey played there. Only so many guys
right.
have that kind of size and physicality to play that spot, and the Saints don't have anybody else like Alante Taylor to man it. So, yes, he needs to be healthy 100%. And Trevor Penning with that turf toe, Bobby, you know this. I mean, that's a finicky injury, man. I remember – Mark Ingram had one a few years back, and I think he missed like 8 games with it. He missed almost half a season. So I think it all depends on the severity of the injury, and I don't think it helps that Trevor Penning's a huge human being. You know, it doesn't help to have all that weight on your toe like that. So I'd say him week one is probably going to be ruled out soon.
Now, Jeff, when you look at like, I don't know, because everyone follows the football, a lot of the casual fan, and you look at the skilled people. Is this too far-fetched? Because I witnessed today in practice, man, Rashid Shaheed was on fire. With Spencer Rattler. Man, they came out the gate smoking. Chunk play, 60-yard bomb. It was in the 40-yard play. No, it was like one after the other.
We've been dying to see that.
And I'm thinking, Chris Olave, you know, everybody says, oh, who's wide receiver one? You know, I say, who's first string, second string? I don't know. They all got to play, contribute. But I think, how a quarterback has confidence in you. Do you think, and it's a big year for Chris Olave, contract year, but Rashid Shaheed might at times be the go-to guy over Chris Olave. I think Chris Olave runs outstanding routes, but I think how Rashid Shaheed's getting better as a receiver, how his route running, and more upside. Now, I don't know if that can happen, and I want you to comment on that. And then also, okay, we think Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks had, you know, a couple of catches. He did good in Los Angeles, but I look at Brandon Cooks. Mason Tipton might end up being the number three guy. But I don't know. I look at if you're number three or number four, you're part of the offense, they got to count on you. Who got the single coverage? You got to win. Let's say whether it would be Brandon Cooks or Tipton. But what's your take on all that competition there?
Yeah, look, that's a great point because I think Shaheed has really blossomed this year, improved a lot. I think he's running the entire route tree now. He's not just a go or a hitch guy.
Right.
And you can just see the confidence in him. And then, in turn, all the quarterbacks realize he's the go-to guy right now. I would say he's had certainly a more impressive camp than Olave, but I think they're bringing Olave along somewhat slowly. They know what they have in him. But this could end up being one of those years, sort of like in the prime Breeze years when it really kind of came week to week who was going to be the guy. If you remember back then, I mean, they had Robert Meacham, Devery Henderson, Lance Moore, Marcus Golston. I mean, one of those guys could be their week, and they
right.
could star. It didn't really, even though Colson was kind of the number one guy, week to week, you didn't know who was going to be the number one go-to target. And I think it could be like that this year, but I'm still waiting on Cooks to see if he's the emerging number three guy, because I just haven't seen it so far in camp. He may be just pulling the vet move on us and going to turn it on when the season starts, but I haven't seen much of it so far in camp.
Well, the best thought I took on him, he had the play of the day was when they practiced against each other last week before they practiced against the Rams. And it had been about a 25, 30-yard gain. He made an outstanding catch that was thrown behind him, and he had some hops on him. Man, it looked like he could have dunked the basketball. I said, oh, that was a great catch. So that caught my attention. I said, oh, that's definitely the play of the day. So I seen him flash in Irvine a couple of times. So, yeah, because we always tend to look at the skill people and then who's covering the skill people. I can tell you this. Look how much we're counting on Kool-Aid McKinstry. Man, he can't just be good. He has to be almost now. I don't know if it's fair or not, but he has to be how, you know, we were trusting Lattimore and Paulson and Debo. Well, he got to mature right quick, going into his second year. And the thing is with Kool-Aid and, you know, matchups, I was talking with Deuce about this. I go, I can tell you right now, and looking, now, not everybody has Davante Adams, whatever, and that's a bigger receiver. But I say, McVay, if we were playing the Rams and Kool-Aid's on an island with Davante Adams, I guarantee you he's getting 14, 15 targets. Now, you mix up the coverage, so the help out Kool-Aid, not 100%, but now and then you have a defender over the top. So you're basically doubling him or maybe mix it up in and out. But you can't just put him on an island. But if you're not going against a Davante Adams, you need Kool-Aid to play with confidence. And he made some plays today. Then to have that swagger where the guy on the outside, if you have Alante on the inside, he needs to come up big. I know you'd agree with that. Now, the best pass coverage is a pass rush. But Kool-Aid, he has to be a team strength. It can't definitely be like, oh, well, he's just another guy out there.
Well, I think you could make a case other than Chase Young, Kool-Aid McKinstry's been the best defensive player so far in camp.
I mean,
he's really looked very confident. I think there's a reason the Saints moved on from Marshon Lattimore. They had confidence in Kool-Aid McKinstry. And Bobby, I think to your point about getting, you know, on an island, I don't think Brandon Staley's going to do much of that. I think there's going to be a big change in how the Saints cover on the back end. I think they're going to be a lot more match zone.
Right.
I know Dennis Allen played a lot more of that later in his tenure here, but that's the way the whole league's going. You don't see a ton of just straight man-to-man the way DA like to play it. I think they're going to be a little more zone-heavy, and especially knowing, you know, how this team's built, they may you know, try to protect some of that secondary, because right now I don't think the Saints even know who the third corner is on this team, and that's a starting role in the NFL these days. And I don't think any of us know who that third corner is right now.
You know, Jeff, I'm glad you brought up that match zone. You know, to explain to the fans and, you know, who that nation, what that is, and teams are getting more to this. You know, like a basic coverage is like three deep zone where you have a third, or cover two deep zone, where now you could play a soft cover two, or and if you look at the cover four, where they call it quarters, and maybe you could disguise it as cover two, and then everybody has, like, instead of a third, you got a quarter, quarter, quarter across the board. But when you say the term, like Jeff just said, matchup zone, you know what ends up happening? Because the DB's got a clock in their head. That's why you got to have a pass rush. They got a clock in their head. Now, you can't let a quarterback break the pocket and run all around. Then you can't cover someone forever. But they have a zone, and you're not staying strictly zone. That's what I said, matchup zone. Like, okay, who's in your zone? Cover them man-to-man. Yep. Then all of a sudden, it's like it turns into man coverage. And when it's out, that, the teams that really do that good, and that, like Jeff said, a lot of teams are doing this because it's not putting defenders on an island. It's not like Darrell Revis. You remember like a Revis Island? Or you know who we're going to see? I don't think he's not going to play Saturday. Like Pat Surtain. He was an NFL defensive player of the year. No, him you could put on an island. But like Deion. But it's like that's a small fraternity. And so to help the confidence, a lot of these young DBs and all that, now you got to learn that skill set, is that doing that matchup zone makes all the difference in the world how you can have success at defense. I like what Coach Taylor's doing in that regard.
Yeah, and I tell you, who started most of that is Vic Fangio, who Brandon Staley coached under.
Yep, Vic Fangio.
The Saints, I'm telling you, Bobby, back when Sean Payton and Drew Brees were rolling here and they were lighting up the league, they changed how defenses played around the league. It was this offense here in New Orleans that was dominating for over a decade, and defensive coordinators said, we can't let that happen, and everybody started playing too high safeties, shell coverage, and not letting the Saints get all those explosive plays. They changed the league.
Jeff, always great hearing from you. Appreciate the time, and see you in the Dome tomorrow.
All right, guys. Take care. Thanks for having me on, as always.
All right, Jeff.
Jeff Duncan, columnist for the Times-Picayune and NOLA.com, joining us there. Taking a break here on Sports Talk. We'll be back with more of our black and gold coverage right after this. Stay tuned on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, I want to remind everybody we're less than 2 weeks away now from LSU season opener at Clemson. How are the Tigers preparing for the Tigers in hostile territory? Don't miss the first Brian Kelly show of the season with the head coach and the voice of the Tigers, Chris Blair, Thursday night, 7 p.m. on your home for LSU football, WWL, and the free Odyssey app. We'll be back with more as we wrap up this hour of Sports Talk and get ready for the Saints Hour coming up next here on WWL. We believe in the power of being everywhere. Listen to WWL anytime, anywhere. Get the WWL shows you love. It's Dave Cohen, Tommy Tucker, Newell Scoot, of course, Sports Talk, and all the local content you crave on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps. We touched on it real briefly, Bobby, but at least a positive today for me at training camp, the limited session that I got to see, was at least Devin Neal, the rookie, back at it. I know he's limited action, and Coach Kellen Moore mentioning the fact that we'll see, they're going to slowly bring him along, and we'll, you know, see if he can get some game action in on Saturday, which is so crucial for him. We haven't seen much.
Well, the game action, the practice action I saw, like Alvin Kamara, he looked, he's ready to roll. He looks fresh, but it was more Clyde Edwards-Helaire at Velus-Jones Jr. Velus-Jones Jr., they was getting his hands on the ball along with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So if you look at it, who participated, who's making plays, you're taking notes on, besides Alvin Kamara, that's what other, I don't, Kendre Miller, did you notice he was there? I didn't take no notes on
He was that. Present, yeah, but I guess he didn't do much in practice. Maybe they're saving him because they know he's locked in the QB room, the running back room.
Yeah, it was more, like I said, Alvin Kamara and Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Velus Jones Jr. Those were the ones that were getting the yak, yards after the catch, or you know, on running certain running plays.
Yeah, it'll be curious to see that rotation as well going into the Denver Broncos game. You mentioned, too, that I don't think we're going to see many of the Broncos starters Saturday.
No, but their backups are pretty damn good. I don't know. I think the Broncos, the top to bottom, that's going to be a tough challenge. So they might have guys in the rotation on the back end that could be starting for other teams. All I know, when they did that third and fourth quarter against the Cardinals, their pass rush, they were pinning their ears back. They were coming. And I think throughout the game. So it'll be interesting. It'll be a good challenge for the Saints because the Broncos are considered the team that had one of the best camps out of all the NFL teams this summer.
Folks, stay tuned for more Black and Gold Talk. The Saints Hour coming up next. Voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and myself will be joining you. So stay tuned right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Who dat?